kind of nice having some smaller groups here, kind of a cozy little feel. Think back in your New Testament, some of the letters that were written to churches were probably no bigger than we are. Some of the letters are written to churches in your home, churches at your house, small cities, small villages, islands where churches could have been from 10 to 50. There were some bigger churches, but many of the churches, the letters we have in our Bible were written to churches to be passed around to smaller churches like us. And I don't want this family of believers to think you are insignificant because of everything that's going on. I want you to understand you are still, as I said a minute ago, God's body. You are still the vessel He lives and works through in this climate of society. It is still the body of Christ that speaks and moves and lifts and walks. You are still the body of Christ. Some of you guys will understand when I show you this fingernail. It is totally purple, totally gone. Some of you guys have smashed a finger before, or two or three. It was so bad that on this side it actually burst open. I caught it between a couple big logs that I was throwing, and I didn't get it out of there in time, and this big log hit against this log, and it actually burst it open right here, just like a grape, and it was not happy. I mean, it's still a lot bigger. This was 2 weeks ago. I went into the kitchen table and I sat down, and Terry helped me clean it up, and I said, I think I'm going to be sick to my stomach. I mean, the pain was that bad. It was just like my whole body. I could have thrown up, and I thought, man, this is possible. This hurts. Did you know that's how important you are? You may think you're a little fingernail, but the Bible says you are God's body, and the whole body hurts, even when a little finger, the end of your finger is crushed. The whole body aches together. And when you rejoice, the whole body rejoices together. I don't know what your feelings or thought are of our church, that we can't do anything right now. We're small and insignificant. I want you to know you're every bit as important to God's body as any church of any 10,000, 5,000, anywhere. He lives and walks and breathes through you. We are still God's body. Our scripture says that even some of those less comely, remote, smaller parts of our body, we get more care. So you just pick yourself up right now and remember who you are in this country. Remember who you are in this community. Whatever's going on out there, you grab yourself by the bootstraps and say, look, I am God's body. Game on. Game on. I'm so thankful you're here. I'm so thankful for the faith you've shown through this time. And I know we have challenges ahead, but pick yourself up and realize who you are. If you don't get that, if this is optional and insignificant and meaningless and not really even a part of my life, then we need to talk about your salvation. We need to talk about, have you really given yourself to Christ? Are you His? Because everything I read in the New Testament says this little family of believers, this local church is every bit as important to the kingdom as anything else going on out there, anywhere. You are the body of Jesus Christ. Let that little picture sink into what he just called you, his very body. We have work to do. We have work to do. It's probably not going to get any easier, but we have work to do. He has given us his path and his way. It begins with Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. He has given us the walk. We've talked about that here in Psalm 119, Aleph, the walk and the way, the path and the walk through it. He's given us that. So let me remind us. If you're like me, my tendency will be to pray, Lord, give me direction through the chaos. I heard a man speaking, I think last night we were listening to a message. Went an hour and 20 minutes, and Terry said, see, you can talk as long as you want. The man said, you know, this day you have two choices, Christ or chaos. Christ or chaos. And it will be in my brokenness, I will pray for, Lord, give me a way through this. Help me to find your way through this. And if he was to talk audibly to me, you know what he's going to say. I did. You have the way. You have the walk. You have my spirit. You have my love and you have my attention. Are you lacking something? Are you still needing something? I did give you the way. And how you're to walk, how you're to live in the way. I did. I'm with you. It's okay. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 1, Aleph. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Aleph. As you know, if you've been around the last couple weeks, the Hebrew letter Aleph. Each line in this section begins with the Hebrew letter Aleph. It's this. It's in the dark right here. Kind of looks like an N to you, but not really. It's more silent usually. It's the 3-in-1 letter. If there's a God's letter, this would be God's letter. It means master, Lord, teacher, wondrous, strength. 3-in-1 because it's made up of three letters that make the one. Huh, imagine that. The Vav, right there, which you have here in verse 41, it says Wa, that's pronounced Vav, that's the Vav, and it's on an angle, it's humility, and then the Yud, which you don't have in here because I'm pretty sure they're vowels, and there are no vowels in here. So the vowels are all the little marks and squiggly lines you see by a Hebrew word. So two vowels and a consonant make this letter, the three in one. And the Jewish people, Hebrew people say that, at least the messianic ones, that this one represents God in heaven and this one God on earth, and this right here is Jesus, the Bible. The Jews say Torah. So it's just an incredible, incredible letter, really. And the word blessed in the first couple of verses begins with that. It's the silent God beginning that word blessed. He starts that. Talking about the way and the walk. Verse 2, seek Him with your whole heart. Keep His testimonies and seek Him with their whole heart. Verse 4. Let's just stop and take a breath. Let's just stop and take a breath right now. Stop and take a breath and let's look at verse 4 together. Nothing changes this verse. COVID doesn't change this verse. Protesting or rioting doesn't change this verse. There's nothing going on. An election doesn't change this verse. You, God, you have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. For us, the body of Christ, those of us truly following and understanding who we are, that He works through this body, we are His arms and His legs, we're His fingernail, we're His feet. God has commanded His body to keep the precepts, plural, that's a synonym for all these other words, commandments, law, statutes. It's what it means. You, God, have commanded us, your body, your people, to keep the precepts, all of them, diligently. Enthusiastic. That's diligent means forcefully, vigorously, with energy. We would say enthusiastically. I'm commanding now my body to keep my precepts. To keep my precepts. You and I are commanded by God, Old and New Testament, to keep the precepts, keep His Word. We talked last week about the idea of the commandments, the Word of God, and the love of God, or the faith of God, the heart of God, how for us, those two are never apart. You keep the commandments, you love Him, you have faith in Him, you trust Him, you walk with Him, you have a relationship with Him, and the commandments are always there with the love and the faith. They're never apart, and when they do get separated, you've got a problem. The Pharisees, commandment keepers, commandment makers, they followed the commandments. Jesus said, you read the Scriptures because you think that in them you have life, but they speak of Me. They were commandment keepers. You honor Me with your lips, but your heart is far from Me. Commandment keepers without a heart, without faith. Commandment keepers alone are of their father the devil. It's not going to work. Love. I love God. I don't do much with the Word of God, but I love God. You're the pastor. I'm just the guy that comes and sits in your pew. I love God, but I don't really do much with your word. Jesus said, over and over and over, If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you, the Spirit of truth. The world can't receive it because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. He dwells with you and will be in you. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will be a student of the word. You will feed off of it. You will love it. You will revel in it. You will bathe in it. You will keep my commandments. If you love me. I love God, but the word of God, no. You have an issue there. At least according to the one you say you love. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Oh, who loves him? The one who keeps his commandments. I'm just reading Jesus here, okay? Whoever has my commandments, and we all have them. If you don't have a Bible, I'll give you one. He it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest or make known myself to him. Verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Verse 24. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. It's God. So he says, if you love me, you'll be loved by God. You will have God. Me and God will come and dwell in you. If you love me, you will be about the word. I will give you my spirit, and my spirit has an insatiable hunger for the word of God. You'll starve to death if you're not fed the word of God. If you love me, and if my spirit dwells in you, really. So, the word of God without the love of God, the heart of God, the faith, that's bad. And to say I love God, but I'm not a Bible person, I'm just not there, but I do love God. And hey, the greatest commandments, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the commandments. So these two can't be separated. If you're truly a believer, truster, you are the body of Christ. You know this. You know this. You love God. You don't just obey. You're just not a good guy, a good girl. You love God, and you have a hunger, a drive for the Word of God, to hear His voice in Scripture. The Spirit cries in you to be fed the Word of God. That's a believer, according to your Savior, Jesus Christ. This is just one small little section that I'm reading to you. Very small. I could take you to almost any book in the New Testament. James, faith without works is dead. It's dead faith. True religion bridles its tongue. And if you don't have control of your mouth and you say you're religious, you're not. It's dead. 1 John, same thing. Peter, Paul, I could just take you to anywhere. And this is the way it's always been. The greatest commandment, love the Lord your God, is all you say. Deuteronomy 6. It's always been this way. The body of Christ, the true body, true believer, loves him, and now more than ever for the cross, and hungers for his words, hungers to hear his voice in print, speaking into your spirit, nourishing, calming, leading, telling you he loves you. That's the believer. That's just the believer. Always been this way. So when this psalmist writes, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. He's just combined them both. You keep his testimonies and you seek him with your whole heart. That's it. There it is again, right there in the Psalms. It's both. You will keep his precepts enthusiastically, vigorously. You know they're your Savior's precepts. You're the body. He died for you. And you got work to do on this planet. And he's going to do it through his body, and you vigorously, vigorously, enthusiastically about the word, about keeping the word, keeping diligently. This psalmist in verse 5 expresses a little bit of his heart with that, oh that. Oh that my ways may be steadfast in what? Keeping your statutes. Oh that. That's one Hebrew word. Oh that. That's just a cry. Oh God. Oh that. Sometimes it's translated, oh that God. It's just this gut cry, oh, that my ways would be steadfast, just established in me being a good guy. Me being a nice lady, neighbor, person. Oh, that my way, if I just be a good guy. No, not really. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast, firmly established in keeping your statutes. That my life may have this well-worn path right through the Word of God. When you look back on the steps of my life, they go right down the pages of Scripture. Because I'm in there. I love it. I crave it. I hunger for it. And even when I fall, I get back up on the horse according to your statutes. It's a well-worn path in my life, right through the Word of God, the Church of God, the body of Christ. You look at my life and look at that path, man. It goes right through the Word of God, the body of Christ. It's right there, man. His heart just cries out, oh, that my ways may be steadfast, keeping your statutes. There seems to be this subtle little emphasis now that seems to be cropping up on this idea of keeping the precepts, keeping the statutes. It's going to happen again in verse 8. I will keep your statutes. There's a bit of a difference, and I'm going to get into some nuance here. There's a bit of a difference between kind of obeying or just doing and keeping the statutes. There's a bit of a difference between just the doing of it and the keeping. So turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And this is the first time this word is used. This is the first occurrence of the word keep in the Bible. The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. To work it and keep it. So Adam, by himself, was put in the garden to do two things. And they're different things. So to work it or to dress it, as some of your Bibles say, is kind of like the working end of a shovel. To till it, to dig it, to do it, right? To get with it. So in the garden, I need you to know that there was shoveling and tilling and there was work going on in the Garden of Eden, in that pristine, amazing garden that God built. There is work going on there. And to keep it. And so this idea of keep really means to kind of hedge about. It means to look out over, to guard in some instances, to protect in some instances, to maintain and to keep whole in some instances. You might ask yourself, in this garden with no, like, what would you keep it from? I mean, what would you hedge it in from? How would you maintain its wholeness? How would you guard it in the Garden of Eden? What is there if it's Adam and the animals and the hedges and the fruit trees and the... What are you guarding it from? What are you keeping it whole from? What is the keeping? If you're tilling and working and doing the sweat work, what are we keeping then? That's what he's saying. Keep the garden. Work it. Keep the garden. Keep it whole. Watch out over it. Protect it. Try and think through. They got kicked out of the garden. You do remember that? They did get kicked out of the garden. Somebody came along. He can't function without you. Does he really want you to keep all that? Does he really want you to worry about all that? Come on. You don't got to do all that. This little podunk body of people here, they're nothing. Don't worry about them. Don't get that serious about it. It's going to be okay. You won't surely die. Right? Who are you going to listen to? Keep it. Keep the Word of God. Enthusiastically. Knowing what he said about you. You are the body of Christ. This is my body, and these are my words. Keep them enthusiastically. Make your steps and your path go right through them, and you keep them whole. You watch over all of them. You guard, keep all of my statutes. Don't you let that whisper tell you any more lies. Any more lies. because they didn't keep the garden. They got kicked out. He ends this passage by saying, I will keep your statutes, don't utterly forsake me. How ironic. How ironic. And I say to you, the true follower of Jesus Christ understands this. He knows what God has called us to be. He knows the importance of this family. You are the body of Christ, and you feed, you nourish the Spirit in you with the Word of God. You are how I will work on this planet together, and one hurts, all of you hurt, and one rejoices, all of you rejoice, and you love each other. And by that, everyone's going to know you're my disciples because you are inseparable. And this psalmist knew it. I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I love my neighbor as myself. I love. And oh my God, help me keep your statutes. And his gut was crying out. Then I will not be put to shame. Adam and Eve were sure put to shame with their tail tucked between their legs walking out of that garden. For good. For good. They've been fooled. But then I will not be put to shame having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. This is a beautiful psalm, man. He gives us the heart of it, the how-to of it, and the why of it. The heart, the how-to, and the why. The heart is my heart. The heart of the believer aches and cries out for God and His people and His commandments. The how-to, right here. Keeping His ways diligently, enthusiastically, knowing who you are, my eyes fixed on your commandments. Fixed. My eyes are fixed on all your commandments. Verse 6. Verse 7. I'll praise you with an upright heart when I learn. When I learn your righteous rules. The how to? Fix your eyes on the commandments. Learn all the commandments. I told you last week our nation is filled with church buildings and people singing lovely little songs about God. But the body of Christ praises Him with an upright heart. Well, there's a lot of God singing going on this morning. I just don't know how much truly praising with an upright heart. Heart? Did you say heart? Heart. Commandments? Heart. My God. His body. We can praise Him with an upright heart. We are His body singing right back to the head with an upright heart. When we fix our eyes on the commandments, when we learn. If you're done learning, you're done. If you're done learning the Word of God, you're done. I'm just going to tell you, I'm just going to be honest with you. This life is not getting easier, folks. If you're done learning the Word of God, you're done. Punch out and go home. You're done. You'll never make it. COVID will scare you off. Protesting will scare you off. The government will scare you off. You're done. You're useless. You're neutered. Go home. We don't need you. If you're done learning, If you're done engaging, if you're done enthusiastically digging into the Word of God, you're just done. Go home. Worse than the virus has gotten you. The spirit of death has gotten you. The spirit of Antichrist has gotten you. Something has gotten you, but you're done. Just stay home. Go home. I'll preach to 10 people. I'll preach to 5 people that understand what this word is saying. You're the body of Christ. The blood flows through you. This. It's the Word of God that feeds us, that nourishes us, that gives us strength. Have you ever been hangry? You just need something to eat. It's the Word of God. Fix your eyes on it. Meditate on it. Or stay home. Just quit pretending you're even a believer. Go home. You're done. This community, this culture is getting harder. It's not for the faint of hearted. It's not for the pretender. This is the best thing I can preach to you today. There is a path. But let's stop. Let's just stop pretending. It's not optional. The Word of God, the body of Christ, it's not optional. Learning the Word of God is not optional. It's the breakfast and the coffee and whatever you had this morning and we'll have for lunch and we'll have. It's not optional. There's a lot of people fussing this morning about an election that just happened that quite possibly there were some infractions of the righteous statutes and rules for elections in our country. There are people saying that possibly the statutes of elections of law in our country, those statutes were not kept whole, healthy, protected, abided by. There are people saying that. If you haven't heard that, that is a rumor that they were not kept. And the bigger issue for our country isn't who's in power. It is in 4 years. The bigger issue is in 4 years, how will we have a true election that is keeping within the laws of election? That's the biggest issue we have. It's not who's in charge. It is how are we ever going to have an honest right election. I was told Ted this morning, China has an election. Russia has an election. The same guy wins every year. It's crazy. How are we ever going to have a true election of the people again? And keep the laws that govern our election. That's a problem. It's a much bigger problem to me of a so-called body of Christ that can't keep the laws that God gave them to function and to move and to walk and to be His vessel on this earth. How will we function with any more integrity than the community we were looking at this morning, if we, the very body of Christ, can't maintain, keep whole, abide by in a healthy keeping, hedging of the Word of God. If we're done learning, we're done meditating. I've read that. How will we function any better than they? We won't, and we don't, and we aren't. Keep the body. Keep it whole. Keep your eye on Him. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? Do you have a heart for God that immediately pulls you into His Word? That it immediately pulls you to His voice, to His life, to His body? Do you have a heart for God? That is the whole question right here. Here's the word. Oh, that. Would that God. Oh, God. The heart. Do you have that heart to enthusiastically, diligently keep His garden, keep His word? This is the Hebrew word that starts with Aleph. That's the Hebrew word with the silent Aleph right at the beginning of it. It's the heart of God. Akale! Akale! How's your heart? Being nice, staying out of trouble, being a good wife or a good husband, good mom, good dad. It's not that. This is a heart that bellers for our Heavenly Father, our Savior. That cries for the body, that cries for each other, that rejoices in each other, with each other. I don't want to lose you. Where's your word? Where's your word? I'm starving. I am starving for your word. Oh, God, Akaleh! I'll preach to five of you that have that heart. I'll be here. If they shut this country down again, this is what I'm going to tell you. On Sunday morning, I will be here and the door will be unlocked and you do what you want to do. Okay? I'm done staying home. I need you and you need me. We need God. We need the Word of God. We are the body of Christ put in motion on this planet, not individually, together. Jesus said so. Jesus said so. Does that mean anything to you? I'm begging you, let this experience we are having drive you to your knees in front of a mirror and look in it and ask yourself, is that me? Anything short of that, I don't know. You could be leaving the garden shortly. Oh, you'll never confess to not believing in God anymore. Adam didn't either. Adam knew God really well. He just listened to some other voices. I'll keep your statutes. Don't utterly forsake me. Don't show me the door. And it won't be him. It'll be you. It'll be you that'll listen to the other voices and find the door. Because it doesn't mean anything to you. The Word of God, this church, come on. Spiritual life and power and strength and prayer, come on. I hope they turn up the heat. I hope they turn up the heat to 95. And we're going to see who stays in the game and who bails. We're going to find out, all it's going to do is filter the true body of Christ. That's all it's ever done throughout history. That's all it's ever done. That's what the Bible says happens. These divisions must take place so that we might know who's genuine among you. Paul wrote that. That's all it's ever done throughout history. Turn the heat up out there. Turn it up. We'll find out who's real. We're finding out now, and we're just up a few degrees. We're finding who craves, hungers, bellers to God. Go ahead, turn it up. You don't like this president? God's the one who puts kings in place. Heart of the king's in the hand of the Lord, he moves it however he wants. Habakkuk cried, Lord, justice, how long do we got to watch this in our streets, Lord? Oh, not too much longer. I've got Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon on the way. Just look right over there. See that dust cloud? I'm going to deal with it. It's called Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. They're like savage wolves. They'll be here in just a minute. Just hang on. Turn the heat up. Go ahead. Doors will be open Sunday morning. I'll be here. God's people will be here. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Lord, we love you. Some of us cry out, Akaleia. Our hearts don't beat unless you beat. We don't breathe unless you breathe. So Lord, lead us. I pray for those here listening to the whisper, this doesn't matter. This doesn't matter. His word isn't that important. You believe, right? Oh, Lord, have mercy on him. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.